We do want everyone to be safe as they get about in the traffic this time of year. Watch out for the other guy. They may not be paying much attention. Mind's on other things. So be alert, stay safe, and enjoy, of course, the festivities this time of year. Our study this morning is concerned with the tree of life. And this should be of great interest to us all because it is found in three books of the Word of God, the Holy Bible: Genesis, Proverbs, and the Revelation. Thus, the first book of the Bible, the middle book of the Bible, and the last book of the Bible. In the King James, we find this phrase, tree of life, 10 times. 3 times in Genesis, 4 times in Proverbs, and 3 times in the Revelation. Now, the tree of life in the Garden of Eden was an actual tree, but was also a type pointing to something greater to come, and that would be, of course, eternity in heaven with God. So we'll begin our study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to PFE, and we should be knowing exactly what that is, preparing for eternity, the most important thing we could be doing. Now, we want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, right here in Martinsville, as we, of course, study God's precious Word in our Bible classes. And then as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so in spirit, a proper attitude thus, and also in truth, and thus according to the New Testament pattern, John 4:24. I can assure you that you will receive a warm welcome. We love to have visitors. Something else we want to mention. If you're interested in a Bible study, please let us know. We'll set that up at your convenience. We're always glad to answer Bible questions you may have. Your comments, positive or negative, are appreciated. So again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. So if you missed a radio sermon in this busy time, you can find them there on the website. Also our bulletin and the articles that are there and the information about activities and our sick list. So we hope you'll check that out. Let's get into our study now of the tree of life. And we'll begin with the book of Genesis. As we note, there were two trees in the midst of the Garden of Eden. And we'll start here with Genesis 2:9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life, there it is, also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So these two trees are there in the midst of the garden. Now Adam and Eve could eat of all the other trees, of course, for their food, and had access to the tree of life. But the negative command that God gave them, they were not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. So God gave Adam and Eve a choice between immortality and sin. If they disobeyed God, thus sin would enter the world. So the fruit of the tree of life provided life. The forbidden fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil provided what? death. Life and death, that's the choice. If Adam and Eve had not disobeyed God, they would have continued to have access to the tree of life and enjoyed the favor and presence of God in paradise. Sadly to say, as we all know, they disobeyed God and they were punished, as they died spiritually right then, and they began to die physically without access to the tree of life. They lost paradise. Proverbs 13:15 applies. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Yes, it certainly is. In Romans 3:23, note, for the wages of sin is death. That's what it pays. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, again, we need to understand that the Garden of Eden was paradise and fellowship with God and no suffering and no evil. But now, that's gone. Access to the Garden of Eden was lost. Notice Genesis 3:22-24, and here we'll find the second and third usage of the tree of life. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil, and now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden. They were cast out to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, angels that is, and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. There's the third usage. So God would not allow sinful man to have immortality. Of course not. So paradise was lost forever here on the earth. It is not possible to have a utopian paradise in this life ever again. And we all need to understand that, because so many people have been deceived and blinded by Satan, who is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. They're believing otherwise, that you can have a utopian paradise here on the earth. How many times have we heard people talking about a one world government and how all nations can get along and come together? Well, it would be wonderful if there would be no more war, and as we have conflicts now that we're concerned about. But you see, that is not possible without turning to God, and everyone would need to do that. And we know that's not going to happen where everyone does what God would have them to do. People are involved in sin, and this is all over the world, and thus you're never going to have paradise here again. It's lost. Utopia is just a figment of people's imagination. So we want to make that clear. Well, let's go on now to the book of Proverbs, and we'll see again the usage here of the phrase tree of life. And in Proverbs, it's used, and it's a tree of life, it's used as a figure of speech, a metaphor. So we'll start with Proverbs 3:18. There are four proverbs we want to look at with that phrase, a tree of life. Proverbs 3:18, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. Well, what is the context here? Back up to verse 13. Proverbs 3. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. So that's the context. Wisdom, of course, here is coming from God. True wisdom. So getting true wisdom becomes a source of life and true happiness. This is the usage here of the metaphor, a tree of life. So, those who depend on their own understanding and are wise in their own eyes are what? Foolish. They're really foolish. And if we go back some more verses to verses 5 through 7, still here in Proverbs 3, we'll note, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. That says a lot, doesn't it? For all of us to take in and apply it to our lives. Now, let's notice the second usage here in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So the life of a righteous person produces what? Good fruit to God's glory. That's right. And as Christians, we certainly need to be soul winners for Christ. We sing that great hymn, do we not? I want to be a soul winner for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, let's put that to practice. Now notice Proverbs 12:28. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. That would be referring to spiritual death, of course. So let's keep this in mind, as here is the usage here in Proverbs 11:30, that a tree of life. Yes, it's that person who's producing good fruit to God's glory. That's what they have. Now Daniel 12:3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Well, as we turn people away from a sinful life and help them to obey the gospel, boy, that's turning them to righteousness. And that is the brightness as of the brightness of the firmament, is it not? Well, notice James 5:20. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. That's exactly what we need to be doing as Christians, converting the sinner from the error of his way. As we have opportunity, we need to certainly teach the truth and help people to obey the gospel. But let's go on and notice the third usage of a tree of life here in the book of Proverbs. This would be Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. So when one's hopes and dreams are realized, it causes great joy and pleasure, does it not? And as we studied last Lord's Day, hope, the anchor, of course, of the Christian, it anchors the soul of Christians. This is an expecting hope. It's not wishful thinking, no, as we talked about, but it's earnest expectation. God is going to keep his promise. So that certainly one that is realized is a tree of life as well. Notice Proverbs 13:19. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. They don't want to depart from evil. They want to continue in it, sad to say. And how many people are doing just that? Jesus prepared his disciples for his death. In John 16:22, note, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. That's what we're talking about. But let's go on and notice now the fourth usage of a tree of life here in the book of Proverbs. This would be Proverbs 15:4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Notice that. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. It's going to soothe in times of suffering. It's going to help when people are in distress, and it's thus a source of life. That's in contrast with a harsh tongue that can crush one's spirit. A gentle, soothing tongue, what that can do for people in distresses. But on the other hand, have we not been witnesses or been afflicted with someone's sharp tongue that cut like a knife? That hurts, doesn't it? Even though it's not actually cutting us like a knife would, but it's doing the same effect of hurting us. You see, contrast that in regards to this gentle, soothing tongue, a wholesome tongue. That's a tree of life. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Proverbs 10:11. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Proverbs 16:24. Let's learn from this. It's so beneficial in studying the usage of the tree of life, or a tree of life, in God's Word. So let's now go to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, the Revelation, no S on the end. Now, what man lost in the Garden of Eden, we gain by remaining faithful, where? In the Church of Christ, in the body of Christ, a soldier in the Lord's army, a member of the kingdom of God, a saint that abides faithfully in the Lord's church. Notice Revelation 2:7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Ephesus, the church there at Ephesus, had left their first love, verse 4, and needed to return. And thus they would be able to overcome and eat of the tree of life if they were faithful. And you see, going back to Adam and Eve, as they chose the wrong tree in the midst of the Garden of Eden, well, we must today find eternal life through a different tree. Now, I'm talking about the cross of Christ. In Acts 5, verse 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Acts 10:39, and we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Acts 13:29, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, that would be the law of Moses, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. We are to get down on our knees and thank God every day for our salvation if we're a member of the body of Christ. For the price that was paid was the blood of the only begotten Son of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, you see how we are able to find eternal life through this different tree, that would be, of course, the cross of Christ, which it was made from a tree. Now, we want to go now to Revelation 22:2, as we'll see similarities between the Garden of Eden and the heavenly garden. Revelation 22:2, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Yes, the tree of life was there. Now, the Apostle John was given visions of heaven as a bride in Revelation 21:2, and as a city, Revelation 21:2 as well, and then 9 through 27. And here in chapter 22, as a garden, verses 1 through 5, a beautiful garden where the Lamb shall be and His servants shall serve Him. Well, what we need to understand here is the bride, the city, the New Jerusalem, and the garden are representing heaven. We're getting a glimpse of heaven as we study the last book of the Bible, the Revelation. And so as we go now to Revelation 22:14, note with me, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life. Here it is again. And may enter in through the gates into the city. So this is the third usage in the book, the Revelation. Now, the city here is referring to New Jerusalem, which of course is another way of saying heaven. Well, in the Garden of Eden, there was the possibility of immortality. Now, we need to contrast that. What about heaven? In heaven, there is immortality. In the Garden of Eden, there was the possibility of immortality. But in heaven, there is immortality. Now, do we appreciate that? Are we preparing for eternity, understanding what is to come? So, this again is the seventh and final beatitude. There are seven in the book of Revelation. And this is limiting entrance into heaven to those who obey God's commands. Blessed are they that do His commands. They're the ones that have the right to the tree of life. They may enter in through the gates into the city, the New Jerusalem, that is going into heaven. Now, we need to ask ourselves, are we doing His commandments? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, do we love the Lord? Not if we're not keeping His commandments. We can't say that honestly. So we need to understand this. The book of life, the river of the water of life, the tree of life, here are used in a figurative sense, revealing the immortality and the fullness of life which the redeemed will enjoy in God's presence in heaven for eternity. You see, heaven is a real place, but without physical properties. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. So, as we go to 1 Corinthians 15:5, this will settle the matter for sure that heaven is a real place, but without physical properties. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So, since the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible and changed from a natural body to a spiritual body, there will be no need for physical water or food. But we understand in a physical sense now, because we're living in a physical world. And so as we study the Word of God, as we look at these metaphors, we need to appreciate what they're representing. What's to come? Yes. Notice there will be no need, of course, for physical properties, water or food. As you note, 1 Corinthians 15:42-57, 2 Corinthians 4:14-5:2. We don't have time to read that now, but hopefully you'll want to study that later. Now the final perfection of God's purpose for His church, the church of Christ, and the unaccountable is fulfilled where? In heaven. That's the final perfection of God's purpose, which He hath purposed. And the church of Christ is where the saved are. And the unaccountable are those who died before they reached the age of accountability. Thus, they're safe in the arms of the Lord. They never left God. Little babies in the mother's womb whose lives are taken because the mother says she has the right. It's her body. Well, that's a lie. It's not her body. It's not her body that's being cut up, taken away from the womb and thrown away or buried, however they dispose of the child. You see, that's a living being. And no longer, of course, given the opportunity to live. Well, they will be in heaven. And little children that die before they reach the age of accountability. And so, Matthew 25:34, notice, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's the final perfection of God's purpose for the church and the unaccountable. So there's only one way to heaven. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And heaven is for the righteous, and hell is for the wicked. Are we preparing for eternity? Are we looking forward to no more night, no more tears, no sorrow, no more sickness, no pain, no more hate, no more sin, no more separation, no more curse, and no more death? The inheritance received in this life all fade away. But study 1 Peter 1:3-4. This is an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. We stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel, hearing the truth, believing that Jesus is the Christ, repenting of one's sins, making a good confession, and being baptized into Christ. We thank you so much for listening today.